B-Pod Studios.
So let's get T-Mac right up here on the Comcast Business Hotline, brought to us by Training Camp IT from Training Camp. T-Mac, what do you say, T-Mac?
Anthony, what's going on? Another hot one out there today.
Yeah, man. What do you make of Eagles-Ravens today, practice number two?
I got a little chippier today after there were really zero scuffles yesterday as the teams are getting to know one another. But today, tempers flared on a couple of occasions. Alshon Jeffrey along the sidelines at one point, just a real small dust up, and then a couple of backup linemen got into it as well, which created a little bit of a scrum. So there was a level of chippiness to the practice, the intensity going up here. I thought that the Ravens were getting the better of the Eagles early. The defense in particular was having trouble kind of getting their stuff together. And Nigel Bradham and Rasul Douglas weren't on the same page during 7-on-7, let up a touchdown. And then Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins had the same issue and were kind of barking at one another, which also is an indication that there is actually like some, legit competition going on where they're feeling where they want to get it right. But they were arguing a little bit. But then things started to smooth out and we saw the defense take a step up and really do a good job against Lamar Jackson and that first team offense.
So would you make out Carson versus that Ravens defense is pretty nasty. How the offense look?
It is nasty, but I thought that Wentz had a better day today than he did yesterday. There was a couple really nice throws from him. Unfortunately, his best throw of the day was kind of spoiled because he had this beauty of a long ball, 50 yards with some loft right onto the fingertips of Mac Hollins, and Hollins unfortunately couldn't haul it in. But otherwise, I thought for the most part, Wentz was pretty sharp. He hit Ertz on a laser right before that to Alshon Jeffrey along the sideline. I thought it was a crisp practice overall from Wentz. Not perfect, but crisper than we saw yesterday.
So this came up because of you. It's interesting because when you were talking about, and you made great points, man. You really did. When you break it down, it's you can't expect Carson to come out and be lights out the first month. That whole thing's going to take time. He's got to get a rhythm going. He's got new faces. They have a multitude of weapons. You're going to figure out how to use the weapons and deploy those weapons properly. So the first month could be a little choppy. How does the fan base react, T-Mac, to a scuffling Carson early?
It might get people a little bit jittery, but I don't necessarily think that's going to be the way that it goes for the rest of the season. I don't think it should be too big of a cause for concern because I do think that there is going to be an adjustment period. In fact, I asked Wentz about that today because the topic of conversation was about how these coaches, Mike Groh and then Doug Peterson said it again, was that he is operating a lot quicker. He's processing things faster. He's getting through his reads faster. And he's been really operating from the pocket almost the entire summer. I mean, it's been very rare that he kicks out. And so Wentz was presented the question of, is that intentional? And he basically said, why would I run, when I have all these weapons that I could just throw to? And I followed that up by saying, do you think that there's going to be, growing pains or, at least a transition period? And, he said, I haven't really thought about it, but I don't think so. But I really feel, Anthony, that, while he's trying to operate more as a pocket passer and has to kind of implement that in with the quarterback that he's been, which, I mean, has just been the playmaking Carson Wentz, break out of the pocket, extend plays. How do you marry those two? And be kind of the new Carson Wentz. And it's easy to think that that would take some time, right? I mean, it's got to take some time in live action.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I agree. And I just, my only fear was more from the fan base that they would be impatient. There's so much surrounding him and with Foles and the whole thing. That's why, I don't want to implore them to show patience, but look, it might take a month before it looks really, really pretty, and you got to give him a little bit of slack. That's kind of what I took away from our conversation yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's right, and maybe because he has such a good supporting cast that It doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be more losses than wins early on. And because he has so many weapons, you know, maybe there's some stumbles followed by some fireworks as he gets his footing. So that's not to say that it's going to be like, you know, this really long road for him or it's going to look disastrous, but I think it's totally possible that he looks kind of caught in between at times from the old Carson Wentz to the new Carson Wentz.
Don't to Tim McManus, terrific ESPN, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, his incredible podcast, Embedded, and he's brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp, online at trainingcamp.com. All right, so T-Mac, one guy that's an interesting person that we haven't really talked a lot about, but who has got a lot on him for his second year, and that's Mike Groh. How do you see him getting his feet under him now, second year going in as the OC? Now, I know Doug is the play caller, and he's the OC on their offensive coach, but there is a lot of responsibility, and we saw what happened, you know, before he got here. So, you know, when you look at Mike, how do you kind of see him putting his own stamp on things?
I think it's right to point that out. In fact, you know, we have to do this exercise for ESPN that says, you know, who from your team organization is on the hot seat? And, you know, there's not a lot of guys on the hot seat that you can think of given the last 2 years. But who? So I had to kind of rack my brain. And the one that I came up with was Groh because, you know, the offense did take a step back last year. They scored almost a touchdown less on average. And they had a really tough time starting games. I mean, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL of scoring points in the first quarter. And that really got them into a situation where they're playing from behind constantly. That's not how they draw it up. And you can put some of those slow starts onto game planning. And so for those reasons, and the fact that you do have a healthy Wentz now, and you do have so many weapons on offense, that if this offense isn't a juggernaut, then you're going to start looking for some answers pretty quick. So I think this is a big year for Groh. I think that, you know, he was in a difficult position last year of, you know, you're taking over for Frank Reich coming off of Super Bowl championship. It's on a short year. You're trying to get your footing as a coach in a new position with the pressures that come with that. And, you know, I think that we've seen, at least from our experiences and interactions with him during the course of training camp and in the spring, is that, you know, he seems a little bit more relaxed now, seems a little bit more comfortable with what he's doing. And the accounts are that he's, you know, he's a really smart and good coach that maybe just needed a little time to kind of, you know, find himself in that role. So, yeah, I think that he just has to kind of take a breath and find his own identity here. And it's not rocket science for this group, man, because, you know, right, he's got a lot of weapons to work with.
T-Mac with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, real quick, because looks like Jalen Mills on the pop. So to start the season, who is your nickel? So if Sidney Jones is going to start on the outside, who's your nickel?
So I think Maddox could end up being that answer. What we've seen throughout the course of training camp is Maddox and Sidney Jones flip-flopping roles, where one of them will be on the outside on a given day, the other one will be in the slot. And then even like today, you know, they flipped in practice their respective roles. What makes the most sense to me is to have Maddox start on the outside along with Darby. And then when they get in the sub packages, which is like all the time, they're in like 70% of the time, have Jones be the outside guy and have Maddox fall into the slot. So that's where I would place my money right now. But based off of what Schwartz has done over the past several months, it seems like he's really been experimenting with both looks to see what's best for him.
Where's Russell fit in this picture? Because I like Russell.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Russell has shown some nice things, and coaches have talked well of him and his development this year. And we've seen him start a lot as a result of both Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills being on the sideline. I think as Darby starts coming back and solidifying that right corner spot, that means that Douglas, in theory, would not start because they've had him almost exclusively at right corner.
Right.
So my thought is that Darby is ready, and he's trending that way, that Douglas will just be kind of like the first man in.
All right, T-Mac, last thing, any kind of inclination about Thursday night and what you're going to see for the third preseason game?
I mean, the more signals they send, Anthony, the more it suggests that you know, playing the starters in the preseason is not really a big part of their plans. I mean, I think it's possible that, that Peterson rolls him out there for a little bit, but he's playing kind of close to his vest like he did the first 2 weeks, and we know the result of that. It was no 11 and no most of the ones. And so, they just really seem like they're going away from preseason games and more towards kind of heightening emphasis on practice. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, where, you know, if we see him, I don't think it's going to be very long.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think it's smart, too. And look, that's where the league's headed anyway. After the new CBA, they're going to get rid of two preseason games. That's a lock, so.
Yeah, that's good for fans, too, right? Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to sit through those things.
Nah, I agree. T-Mac, especially good for you, baby.
Yeah, brother.
Great stuff, man. Keep it up, babe, all right?
Always a pleasure.
Thanks,
thank
T-Mac.
You.
Tim McManus, ESPN 97.5 The Fanatic on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, let me sneak in Vinny and Delco. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vin!
Cuz, what's up, boys?
What's going on, Vin?
Nothing much, man. Excited to see you guys on Saturday at FanFest, dude. Hopefully it's going to be a nice day. We get rid of this heat.
Yeah,
I was all eagled up, man, when I called. But then we got Mike Scott on, and then you guys were bashing Gabe because his moronic lineup changes. And now I almost lost my train of thought.
Real quick, though. How cool was Mike? Mike was cool.
Mike Scott, there's a lot of guys that get that moniker, like you're a Philly guy, and a lot of times it's misunderstood by the national media because they don't even understand what a true Philly guy is.
Right.
But he couldn't be more. It's ridiculous. It's perfect. In fact, I'd like to maybe institute the first of that Jack Honey toast, maybe at 1 o'clock on Saturday. I would.
Let's go, man. I'm in. Let's go.
I'm in.
All right.
So yeah, listen. This is what I wanted to say about Carson. I got the poll and I put my vote in. But I really believe, and I know this is going to sound stupid because it's old school football, but if Doug will run the football like we did the year he was the MVP, then we're going to be just fine. I mean, it's the best way to get this offensive line going. They're not going to have a whole lot of continuity coming into the regular season. I think, you know, as a football player in my youth, obviously everybody wants to run a football. You know what I mean? It's easier. And I think it's, as a quarterback, I think he's got to, we have all these backs, let's use them.
I agree. And look, Doug's shown that he'll run it. I mean, we've seen him do it. Like, especially when they have a lead. The one thing I'm kind of real excited, I think they'll be able to salt games away. Like, their 4-minute offense should be really, really good with those backs.
I agree. I think Jordan Howard can play that LeGarrette Blount type role that he did with a little bit more youth and a little bit more vibrance. I got scared, man, when we lost Frank Reich last year. I thought maybe a lot of that run tendency went to Indianapolis. I remember watching Colts games and saying,
that's our
offense right there.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
I want to see, normally it's interesting too, they got away from the screen game too. I'm curious, West Coast offense, traditionally, Andy Reid was a great screen guy. I think you got the real ability to run a ton of screens, including those quick flash screens, those little flash passes to Deshaun. I mean, those wide receiver screens. Yeah, I mean, there's a million things you could do with this.
So much, man. Doug, it's on Doug now. He's got so much to work with, man. So much.
I feel like great stuff, man. Thanks, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.